Dear listeners, welcome to Faces of Digital Health, a podcast about digital health and how healthcare systems around the world adopt technology, with me, Tiasza Zajc. Belgium is a small European country with 12 million people, but it's still, in a way, the heart of Europe, because the European Parliament is based in Brussels. Did you know that Belgium started with the idea of regulating digital health medical apps already in 2018? A clear framework was formed with all the main stakeholders involved, from health insurance to industry to the Federal Agency for Medicines and Health Products. So why are we not hearing more about DTX from Belgium? This is the topic of today's discussion. You will hear from Dr. Steven van de Put. He is the advisor for Digital MedTech and Services and Technologies Home Assistance in Belgium. He's managing the mHealth Belgium portal and since 2019 has been a representative for BMedTech, the sector federation that represents the industry of medical technologies in Belgium. Enjoy the show, and if you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and also check out our newsletter. You can find it at fodh.substack.com. That's fodh.substack.com. Now let's dive in. Steven, hi, and thank you so much for joining me for a discussion for Faces of Digital Health to discuss a little bit where digital therapeutics are in Europe. We keep talking about Germany, which has had a clear framework for so-called DIGAs since 2019. We've learned a lot from that example. Now, France is around a year in the framework called the PICAN, but actually you are from Belgium, which has had ideas about regulating digital therapeutics since 2018, and I look forward to discussing this and your experience in the space in this discussion today.
Yes, indeed. I'm one of the coordinators of the mHealth Belgium initiative, which is on a national level, on Belgian level, the initiative that wants to help creating awareness about mobile medical applications to, on the one hand, citizens, but also, on the other hand, healthcare professionals and all stakeholders in the domain. And since 2018, we have this joint initiative. It started with a joint initiative both by industry and government. But meanwhile, this changed, but we can go later in detail how it is now. But indeed, it's a portal on www.mhealthbelgium.be that wants to provide information which medical apps fulfill certain criteria that are set by government.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back in time a little bit. So this was already set up in 2018. Can you talk a little bit about how the conditions looked like for this initiative to happen? So just to clarify, the pyramid that kind of classifies digital therapeutic apps has been designed and agreed upon between three organizations, the Federal Agency for Medicines and Health Products, and then the National Health Institute, or the National Institute for Health and Disability, which is an insurance, basically, institute, and the industry. So this is already a huge success, because many countries that are looking at DIGAs and PICAN, they just don't know where to start. How are you going to design a group that's going to, in the end, facilitate the design of a framework and its enforcement? So how did this go down in Belgium?
I can definitely explain, but maybe first highlight, it didn't start in 2018. Basically, it already started in 2016. In 2018, the pyramid starts, but in 2016, the previous Minister of Health, Marie de Blok, on the federal level, already decided to investigate what mobile health could mean, what the added value could mean in the Belgian landscape when we use such mobile medical applications. And what she did is she launched a call for pilot projects, and 24 of these pilot projects got some subsidies, and they run for 6 to 12 months. All these pilot projects were in a combination of healthcare professionals, tech providers in different settings, hospital setting, home care setting. And out of these 24 pilot projects that were subsidized, they did an evaluation after 1 year and a half. And it's that evaluation that made clear there is a need to have a validation framework, and that the validation framework became then the validation pyramid with the three layers, as you said, indeed. And that started off end of 2018, and then the portal went live as a website in beginning of 2019. If we look now to the three levels in the pyramid, it's important to know that there is a hierarchical structure. So it all starts with level one. Level one is the broad basis. There, an app can start, and then it can rise into the pyramid from level one, the basis, towards level three, towards level two first, and then ultimate aim for many of these tech providers, for many of these applications, is of course to be financed in the system, and that's where level three comes into the picture. So it's a broad basis, level one, towards a narrow top, level three, because the idea or the aim is not that all applications that enter level one also will reach level three. Mm-hmm. It's not all applications that fulfill the basic criteria about CE certification, etc. I'll dive into that in the next minutes, that need to have financing on the national level. But of course, many will aim for that.
Mm-hmm. So if I understand correctly, there's basically three levels. And one is to just be classified. And then the third one is to also be reimbursed by the national insurance.
So indeed, level one is the broad basis, and there the Federal Agency for Medicine and Health Products, who is the agency responsible for patient safety, doing inspections of let's say pharma and medtech world, there the basic criteria is to have a CE label. So you need to be a medical device. So it's only those apps, those tools that do medical claims, whatever it is, diagnostic, therapeutic, monitoring, and that doesn't matter. The pathology domain also doesn't matter, but only if they do medical claims and have a CE label, then they can be classified in level one. That's where it all starts. Then level two, originally level two was more about some ICT criteria you have to fulfill. Think about authentication, identification of the user, how you have to check the relationship between patient and healthcare professional. There you need to fulfill, of course, certain standards to do that it is that the connection is safely done. And then level three, it's in, of course, the top level. That's there the decision is made by the National Institute for Health and Disability Insurance, which is the national payer authority. And they judge and evaluate, of course, the dossier where you have to show your social and economic evidence and the added value you bring into the care system.
And in the beginning, 24 applications were assessed in a year-long period. What happened to those applications then, or what's happening with them today? Are these applications that are still alive, what happened?
Yes, some went into the pyramid, some not. This was, let's say, all consortia of different stakeholders, but several of these tech providers who were involved in this consortia have afterwards listed their application on the portal. But the portal is now open since 2019 for all, so it's not anymore linked to those 24 who originally started in a pilot case. Now it's open for every Belgian and international company, doesn't matter. It's on the Belgian landscape that you can become active. And if you provide the information according to the criteria, the ML Belgium coordinator like me, we just act as a notary, we verify whether it is valid or not, and then we grant you the ML Belgium quality seal if you fulfill the criteria. The judgment mm-hmm. about the reimbursement is, of course, done by the national payer authority themselves.
Okay. How many applications or solutions are currently in the mHealth Belgium portal? And what I'm wondering there is, like, how does that help vendors or healthcare providers if they see these applications on the portal? How well is it utilized?
Yeah, I think it's quite important as a kind of marketing and communication tool. as well, because in the beginning it was not so well known, widespread among the different stakeholders, the healthcare professionals. But meanwhile, this changed, of course. And what I hear is that many hospitals or healthcare professionals that want to use it really verify whether the application, when a vendor comes to them and offers some telemonitoring application or whatever, that they check, is it listed on the ML Belgium portal. So the quality seal becomes important. The quality seal doesn't mean you will be financed or there is reimbursement, but it's at least a validation that has been done according to criteria that are set originally by government. Currently, there are between 35 and 40 applications who have that quality seal, who are listed either in level 1, level 2. Once there was one also who got temporarily reimbursed and was in level 3, but that's again changed 1 year ago. So currently there is no one who is really being financed by the National Pay Authority, but still it's an important tool for communication, visualization. And I hear from the companies who are there that in the market, it's still important to be listed there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely builds up the credibility of the company. So there's 35 applications listed, and none of them is actually financed or reimbursed by the insurance.
At this moment, none is really financed. No, that's true.
Why?
Unfortunately. Why? That's a long and difficult story, but let's try to explain it in as simple as possible way. It started with the fact that in 2019, when the portal became live, level 3 was still not live. So the template, the procedure for reimbursement request was not active. So that only is happening since beginning of 2021, which is also already 3 years ago. And then there were several dossiers submitted. Several companies submitted the dossier, did a reimbursement request, showed their added value into the market, both clinically but also organizationally, in different domains, ranging from ambulatory care for oncology patients, for sleep apnea, for heart failure patients, etc. But then they got evaluated by the payer authority, and most got a positive evaluation, which is good, and that happened all in 6 months' time. But then there is a second phase, and that phase is like a bit black box model. What's happening there? They got positive evaluation, so they really show their added value. The payer authority and healthcare professionals really believe they bring added value into the system. But the financing has to be changed. And that's difficult. And why? We are in Belgium, and I think in many countries, we still have a fee-for-service mechanism in financing our healthcare. So that means very basically that every act, every consult, everything is paid case by case. So there is also an incentive to let, for instance, people come, chronic patients, let them come on consultation every 6 months, every year, depending from pathology to pathology. But there is no real incentive to do the follow-up via digital tools, via telemonitoring, etc., because then they will not be financed for their act, for their knowledge, for the follow-up they do. So the payer authority is aware of that, and they want to change it. And therefore, they want to go away from the way the financing is done nowadays, the fee-for-service mechanism, and they want to evolve into another system, which we can call a forfait system, bundled payment system. But that requires, of course, a big change. And every change, as we all will know, every change comes with resistance from people in the field. And then it's good to know that in our country, we have a quite complex consultation model. I don't explain it in detail, but it comes down to the system that the people working in the administration, they don't decide themselves. It's up to the, on the one hand, the health insurers, the public health insurers, on the other hand, representatives of the healthcare professionals who have the voting power, and they have to come to a consensus. And that's very difficult because there is always a bit of fear that the change will harm them or will bring a less positive future also financially for them. So that's the reason why, first, those applications, they do submit a dossier, they often get positive evaluations, but then the black box model starts because then the financing has to be changed for that pathology domain, and one will not finance the product itself. one aims to finance the care pathway in which the technology can be used. And that care pathway from A to Z, of course, it has to be, the boundaries have to be set. That pathway will be then financed via a bundled payment, via a forfait system. And that requires, of course, big discussions. Yeah. And there is no fixed timelines discussed there or agreed there. And that's why several of these applications in the different domains that I explained, from sleep monitoring to follow up cancer patients in an ambulatory setting, heart failure, etc., mm-hmm. one is still figuring out with the resistance, of course, of the different stakeholders involved. And we expect in 2024, we expect a few of these care pods be listed and be financed differently. And then, of course, not only the submitter, but also other applications who are in that domain will be financed. So 2024 should be an important year, but it's already a long time ago since we started in 2021 with having the financing potential.
Yeah. I totally get that. It makes sense if you have an app that is basically just a piece in the whole puzzle of the bundled payment, then somebody needs to decide how big that piece is and how that's going to be paid for.
It's indeed just a piece, because the technology is a mean. The technology is not the aim. And that's what the Belgian authorities also think about. And they want to finance not the technology. They want to finance the use of the technology in the whole framework of a care pod and finance the care pod as such.
How do then these companies finance themselves? How do they survive? Is it all out of pocket? How much are they looking also into other markets such as Germany or France? One thing that I thought was really interesting is that basically in Belgium you have to be in three languages. One of them is French. So I'm wondering how many companies are looking at the French model now. But I now ask three questions, so let's start with
indeed.
The first one.
How do they survive? that's a good and a tricky question, because of course some of these companies are multinational established companies, and then it's an add-on on their classical, let's say, equipment and systems or implants or whatever business. But several of these companies are also very focused and in the niche domain of digital technology. That's their only product, that's their only way of surviving, that's their only thing they can bring to the market. So that's also where their revenues have to come from. And then it's difficult, because if there is no financing and nobody is using it because of that reason. So we see that there is less appetite. Indeed, they have to go to other markets. Even the Belgian companies who have good products, they have to go elsewhere. One of the good cases here is Fibrocheck. Fibrocheck is an application for heart atrial fibrillation patients, but not via Holter recording, but just via putting your finger on the camera of your smartphone, and they do via intelligent AI algorithms detect atrial fibrillation and other things. But they can't live, they can't generate revenues just from being with that medical product on the Belgian market. So they have to look first, already years ago, they looked to different generating incomes, generating revenues, different ways. They have partnerships with Fitbit and with consumable markets. They have with private health insurers. They also went not anymore to the Belgian market, but they look abroad. They are in the NHS system in the UK. They have success in the Netherlands, because in the Netherlands there is a different healthcare mechanism and it's more already in a bundled payment system. And then, of course, if you as a healthcare professional can use such technology and you still have the same amount of money you will get, then you use the technology instead of just letting the patient come to your office for an extra consultation. So they have to look abroad. They have to look to other ways of generating revenues, partnerships, etc. And that's how they do. And we see also that the appetite in the market became much less in Belgium the last years, because of the fact that we don't have this clear vision. Or there is a vision, but we don't have success stories. And that's really a pity, because then they have to look abroad. And so they go to surrounding countries in Germany,
and
like Pekka,
they're basically disappointed again.
Even for Belgian companies, we can say there is no home market success, even when it's in the pipeline. But if you don't know when it will happen, in 6 months, in 1 year and a half, 2 years, it's difficult to survive as a company.
Yeah. Based on the things I'm seeing in the US or in Germany, we're going to see what's going to happen in France. But in these two markets, so US and Germany, I see that there's like a lot of disappointment and people are giving up because there's no clear reimbursement mechanism, or because, yeah, these technologies, while they are very useful, are not a solution like pills are. So it seems that the industry as such is giving up a little bit on DDX. Not quite yet, but
Yeah,
I'm
that's
really
indeed
wondering
true.
what's going to happen after
The lack of
France.
perspective is very difficult. If there is a lack of perspective, it's difficult to go on. In my opinion, I see that adoption and adoption on a bigger scale comes in the healthcare domain with two things. On the one hand, of course, there need to be trust into the product and into the system. And the second thing is often financing, especially in healthcare, because we are quite familiar that everything is, I wouldn't say for free, but it's cheap and it's not paid out of pocket. It's different as in the US market, of course, where it's more a liberal market. We are more in a social market regarding healthcare, at least.
But I think I'm just gonna comment here. I've been thinking about this, and I guess what we need is some bravery in terms of somebody on the political level being, just bold enough to actually try and give these technologies a try to see what the broader impact could be. Because, for example, if you look at the Diga apps, there's around 60 at the moment in the database, and a lot of them are related to mental health, to depression, to anxieties, etc. And I think broadly, globally, we've got a huge shortage of healthcare professionals. So while these applications are not like a replacement for therapy and the discussions that you have with an actual therapist, I think we are missing out on the potential that we could leverage on just giving more people at least some support instead of nothing, where waiting times for a clinical psychology evaluation can be a year or longer. So I'm puzzled why nobody is really digging a bit more
It's
boldly into
100% true,
that.
and I agree. And I think we should even more stress the value it can bring, because the value is not only for patients, the value is also there for healthcare professionals to tackle shortages and other challenges we will face in our healthcare system. Shortage of staff is one. We also see that patients are become more empowered, not patients, citizens overall. So this also helps in taking their health in their own hands often. It's also delivering often better quality of care. Think especially about chronic patients. There's more accurate follow-up if you use often these technologies. Mental health, indeed true. There I have to say, and then that's very specifically for the Belgian context, mental health is a bit out of scope for the Belgian context, because it's not anymore on the level of on the national level that it is discussed and financed. It's on the regions. So that's more another political complexity. Where is the responsibility for prevention and for mental health? In Belgium, this is not anymore on the federal level, but on the regional level. And the system we have with ML Belgium, with the validation pyramid, is a federal system. But that's a bit, okay, out of discussion. But I see indeed that in the Diga in Germany, most applications, or a lot of these applications, are on DTX and mental health focusing. And there I have to also to stress, in Belgium, we don't focus really on DTX, digital therapeutics. We focus more on, it's called mHealth Belgium. They focused on mobile health. Nowadays, it's difficult to explain what mobile health is, because mobile, everything becomes mobile. But one aims basically those applications that are used by patients and allow them to interact and share data with healthcare professional. And secondly, also telemonitoring applications. So here is the difference with what we see in Belgium as under mHealth Belgium, a lot of telemonitoring applications. For instance, in Diga, it's more focused on digital therapeutics, where also the healthcare professional is not obliged to interact. In the Belgian setting, the interaction with the healthcare professional is crucial and essential and obliged when you aim for reimbursement. And that's similar in Pékin in France. There also the interaction between patient and healthcare professional is really required.
What are the differences that you see between the three frameworks? So the French, the German, and the Belgian? How do, like, maybe we can, if we try to limit ourselves, how does this look like from the vendor perspective? How much do these frameworks help? How much are they just debilitating for the vendor when trying to enter the market?
From a vendor point of view, there are similarities, you need a CE certification. I think the proof of evidence regarding security, regarding authentication, ICT standards, interoperability is probably similar. I don't know exactly whether the difference is, but it's probably similar. The evidence you have to bring is probably can be the same, but it will be judged every case again. So there is no harmonization on a European level so far that once, let's say, the evidence is judged in one country, that country 2, 3, or 4 also will agree on that. So that is, of course, from a vendor perspective, a difficult one, because maybe you can use or bring the same evidence in your dossier, but the judgment and the procedures are in every country slightly different and has to be done again and again.
Mm-hmm. Did you by any chance talk to any companies that are also trying to enter the French market? I'm wondering if anybody has already any experiences with that process.
I think there are a few who are also from Belgium started, and they look now to DIGA. There are several ones, and also vice versa. For instance, we have in France, there is Resilience, who is a company doing activities for cancer patients, the follow-up of cancer patients. They got financed in France, not under Pécan, but in another system, because in France you have more than the Pécan system. And now they are the first dossier that submitted in the new mHealth procedure a reimbursement request. So they will be evaluated and judged in Belgium too. So it's also, and I know also from Germany, there are a few who are preparing the dossier to submission on the Belgian level. So it's in different directions that this is going.
Mm-hmm. You're following this field very closely. So we mentioned a lot of challenges that the space is facing. And based on the fact that many approaches have been tried out in order to get these technologies used in practice in healthcare, what are some of your expectations or, I don't want to say predictions, based on your knowledge, where do you see that the field is going?
I think on a European level?
Yeah, feel free to say whatever you want about either country level or European level.
But it's... let's start from a European level. There is a task force working on harmonization in terminology, but also harmonization in how HTA, health technology assessments, has to look like, specifically for digital health products. I hope, I don't know whether it will be true, but I hope this will leverage it to bring technologies to different markets in a similar way, faster and sooner, because in the end, that's what we aim for, not only tech providers, but also as a society, bringing the technologies when they are creating value, when they are validated, is very important, of course, bring them faster and bring the innovations faster to the market, that they can be used easier and sooner by healthcare professionals of patients. That's only in the advantage of the healthcare system overall. And on a Belgian level, I would say, but I already, I'm still positive, though we have all these challenges over the last years, but I hope that 2024 will be a year of change, and that even those dossiers who already are in the pipeline for a couple of years will land in 2024. I think about sleep monitoring, I think about telemonitoring for heart failure patients, also for cancer patients to follow up remotely. These dossiers should land, and then we can have some success stories, we can have some cases that are really used, because nowadays these technologies are also used and in Belgium, but it's on an ad hoc basis. Hospital X, Y, and Z, they want to be innovative minded, and they really use it. Of course, they have to finance it themselves, they have to arrange it, because there is no national financing, but they do it. And these stories also help to put pressure on the governments, on the politics, to really embrace it, to really enlarge the system and make it easier to apply for, and mm-hmm. that things go faster.
Mm-hmm.
We have, in the practical reality, we have success stories, but it's not widely used because it's not scalable at the moment, is if there is no financing.
Yeah, which again brings us to the complexity of how, like, the usability is one thing, but we're still struggling with the how to best fit that into the system.
And there, of course, the difficulties of the financing, and that's a bit the difference between Belgium and, let's say, the two other countries who are also embracing the innovation. In Germany with DIGA, in France with Picard, they have budgets for this, sometimes large budgets, and they also finance the products themselves.
Mm-hmm.
In Belgium, as I already explained earlier, we don't have separate budgets, so every budget is in silos, and the digital health brings value in a transversal way over the different silos, because if you prevent rehospitalization, okay, you save in hospitalization cost, but you create, of course, a cost elsewhere, which is maybe smaller, and so in the end, you do savings, but mm-hmm. if everybody is safeguarding their own silos, their own budgets, it's become difficult to implement it.
Yeah.
So we have to overcome that way of thinking.
Yeah. You know what? That's exactly what I was thinking when I was talking about mental health apps before. If you go to the DIGA directory now, they also have price tags there. And some of them are, I don't know, between 300 or 700 euros. So for an app, that really sounds a lot. But if you think that maybe the help of that app would prevent somebody from being on sick leave for months, that's a huge benefit and, yeah, economic value. Instead of paying, I don't know, a few thousand euros for somebody's leave of absence because of an illness, and you put a few hundred euros in just so that person can still function and be productive,
It's true, because we all speak about value-based healthcare, the way to go, but in reality, we often don't go into that direction. And I think digital technologies are really an enabler. Eh? They are not a goal, but an enabler to do. But yeah, it still is difficult to implement it if everybody keeps on saving their own silos and protecting their own incomes, etc.
So the platform for applications in Belgium was managed, if I'm not mistaken, by the three collaborators that went into the project. So the insurance, the e-health platform, and the Federal Agency for Medicines and Health Products. And that ended in 2023, where, if, and correct me if I'm wrong, the BMedTech basically took over the platform. So can you just explain that? The collaboration between the three organizations ended in 2023. So that kind of makes me wonder what's going to happen next. Did the national organizations give up? What does that mean for the actual future?
So indeed, it was a joint initiative originally, and joint initiative, the three healthcare authorities decided the criteria. And the two industry federations, BMedTech and Agoria, I belong to BMedTech, we did the operational management. We built the platform, we did the daily operations, etc. We also got some money to do that from the government, and that ended in 2023. Why? Because we did a lot of advocacy to improve it over the last years. And there was also a report made by an independent organization that said, how should it be better? And the payer authority, so the National Institute for Health and Disability Insurance, the payer authority, used that report beginning of 2023 to come with a new procedure, a new template, etc. So there has been done changes in a good way. And so the new procedure is active and with new templates, etc. It's not only industry that can apply, also a group of healthcare professionals, hospitals, health insurers, they all can apply. And that's only good that it's not only driven by the industry themselves. And that new procedure came into action. We did a lot of advocacy towards that. Came to action since October 2023. And in that new procedure, the submission for a reimbursement request can be done directly to the authority, the payer authority. So there is no need anymore to pass via the mHealth Belgium portal. But of course, the different actors still want to be listed there. And we, as BMedTech and Agoria, as industry sector federations, we decided to go on, of course, but adapted to the new reality.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe it still brings value to list there the different apps, beat only level one or also those who will be financed, because it will be a given overview, both for citizens, both for healthcare professionals, in which domains are there apps who are financed or who are not financed. And that overview is very important. Of course, we have to be honest, and we also believe it's useful to do a further advocacy, to put pressure on the system. But it's also bringing the information in a structured way is still valuable, we believe. So that's why
Absolutely.
We, being Medic and Ahoya, continue in the new setting, of course, in an adapted way. And we also want to bring more transparent information. For instance, also those in the past, those applications who requested for level 3 for reimbursement, it was not listed who was it, etc. Now we really list those applications, did they request, they did the submission, that date, that was the evaluation outcome, and we all want to bring that in a transparent way.
It's definitely useful to have an overview also for decision makers in other countries that are trying to make sense and figure out how they might want to go about this field in their respective country. Stephen, thank you so much for sharing all the insights, and we are going to definitely circle back to Belgium, say in a year, to see what additional progress has been made.
My pleasure to do, and definitely worth to do a follow-up later.
You've been listening to Faces of Digital Health, a proud member of the Health Podcast Network. If you enjoyed the show, do leave a rating or a review wherever you get your podcast, subscribe to the show, or follow us on LinkedIn. Additionally, check out our newsletter. You can find it at fodh.substack.com. That's fodh.substack.com. Stay tuned.